And welcome back, my friends. We're honored to be joined by retired Air Force Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney. Sir, thank you for your service to the country on this Veterans Day. We appreciate having you here. And unfortunately, we're talking about election security today. Now, many folks and viewers have been hearing a lot about something called hammer and scorecard. First, tell everybody what it is.
Well, hammer and scorecard, hammer is a surveillance tool designed to seek out terrorists, started in 2003. It was converted by the Biden administration into a surveillance tool to listen to American people and record what they were doing. The scorecard is an application like on your iPhone that can manipulate voting data, keep it within 3% so it's not obvious, but switch it from Trump to Biden, which the Democrats did in this election. And it is clearly one of the most subtle and stealthy ways of changing voting that there is today. And this is the first massive attack in the United States history. So now there'll be no more free election, Chris, after this one,
yes,
if we get this issue resolved.
Well, General, I got to ask, because is there verifiable information that the Trump administration can use, that our citizens can see, that we can say that it was deployed in this election against American voters?
Yes. And we will show specifically at what time, for instance, in Michigan at 0400 on the 4th of November, 138,000 votes came in for Biden. We'll show a whole host of these that around the country in the key battleground states that were attacked, the time and how many votes were missed, were changed. And we'll have to compare it manually to the votes that went in to the Secretary of State's office and then that came out, the differential. Because people they all realize, I think, that the voting machines are not hooked up to the internet. There are some in Texas that are, but in general they are. They're bundled, go up to the state Secretary of State, and there at certain points, they're shifted onto the internet and distributed. And that's where hammer is put in, and they put the scorecard application on it and manufacture a different vote total, in this particular case, in favor of Biden. This has to be proved because it'll have to go to a court of law.
Mm-hmm. In general, of course, that this all begs the question now, if this is going to be demonstrated and shown, who has the sophistication and the technical technology advanced enough to pull something off like this off? If this did happen, who did it to us?
Well, I don't know who specifically did it to us, but the fact is, and I'm just starting to hear that the Russians and the Chinese were playing with us as well. And so I can't give you the names. I can tell you that Jim Clapper and John Brennan, the former DNI and former director of the CIA, were involved with the program 2 weeks after President Obama came in. They shifted it over to a separate CIA facility and went and started listening to U.S. So the people I don't know exactly, but it benefited the Democratic Party. So obviously they were involved with it to shift the voting. And the reason that's important and a great question, Chris, is because you've got to look at the whole situation that we're involved with. Here you had Vice President Biden had a record number of votes, larger than Barack Obama. Now, for a person that didn't do any campaigning and the largest crowd he had were 12 cars with people blowing horns, never getting out of the basement, did not do one press conference that was an hour long and got real questions, to have gotten the number of votes, the record number of votes he got, that in fact belies the smell test, if you will. And so these other, what we call points of interest or patterns of behavior is the best term. The patterns of behavior don't track. Look at the down low voting from the House. Not one Republican lost his seat that ran again. Look at the number of House seats the Democrats lost. Look at the Senate is going to go, I believe, in favor of the Republicans with the two Georgian. But the fact was, if the weight of voting was so strong for Biden, why don't the down ballots reflect that? So it's patterns of behavior that we've got to look at. And it's a sniff test. This doesn't make sense the way it turned out. And the reason is because people aren't really aware of cyber warfare and what the Democratic Party did to shift those votes.
Wow. General, first off, thank you for the service of the country. Thank you for coming on and explaining to us in such with such clarity what potentially might have happened. A lot of folks looking for explanations, and a lot of folks have been bombarding my inbox with what is Hammer and Scorecard, and we appreciate your carving out time.
Newsmax TV is now America's fastest growing cable news channel. We give you the real news you need. So subscribe to our YouTube channel and give us a thumbs up. If you like this video, share it with your friends. Newsmax TV streams live on YouTube for free. Newsmax TV, real news for real people.
All right. Yesterday, President Trump made his first official public appearance since Election Day. The president and his entourage, including First Lady Melania Trump, Vice President Pence, Second Lady Karen Pence, did not speak at the event. Of course, there's a recount going on right now in Georgia. What is the strategy going forward? Joining us now to weigh in, presidential political strategist Dick Morris. Dick, where do we stand and where do you see this going?
Well, here's where we stand. In Georgia, there is a hand recount going on. And there's all kinds of stuff we've discovered in Georgia. I think we're doing well there. I think we may flip that state. And that may set off a domino effect. The next state to focus on is Wisconsin, where the recount starts on Wednesday. And that's a very honest recount with Democrat and Republican participants. Arizona, we don't have a recount, and we don't have a right to one. So we have to hope that the trend in the other states induces them to do that. In Pennsylvania, there's something before we get to court, which I think people are overlooking. The state legislature has the power under the Constitution to award electoral votes, to select the electors, not the governor, the state legislature. And in Pennsylvania, that's a Republican legislature. And the Speaker of the House has said that he will not award those electoral votes unless there is an audit of how the state voted in the election practices. And I believe that those developments put together give Donald Trump a fairly decent chance of pulling this out.
Okay. Well, let's talk about a couple things. One, Pennsylvania is 20 electoral votes. That wouldn't go the whole way. Obviously, you need more than that. And I was curious about Arizona, why you're not entitled to a recount or can't ask for one, because it's the closest race outside of Georgia, correct?
Yeah. The first, just to clarify the math, give us North Carolina, give us Alaska. Uh-huh. And then if we get Georgia, Arizona, and Wisconsin, we win the election.
Right. But that's I don't mean to trivialize that, but that's not a small accomplishment. I mean,
no,
which is why Arizona, matters. And that's why I'm asking about the recount. You wouldn't be entitled to one there. It seems like you would be.
Arizona has a ridiculous law which says that if the election is not within like 500 votes, there's no automatic recount. It makes no difference between a race for dog catcher and a race for president. But it is discretionary within the state to order a recount. And the basis on which they do it is that they do a sample of 2% of the precincts and recount them and determine if there is a pattern of mistakes or a fraud. And based on that, they can order or not order a statewide recount. And we don't know how that's going to come out. We'll see.
Yeah. Now, are you hoping that multiple states leave it to the legislature and you might have sway there based on what might be provable or at least alleged fraud allegations? Is that what your thought process is, or do you think it'll come down to the votes themselves?
Michigan, there's a Republican legislature, but 140,000 votes is a bridge too far. Wisconsin, there's a Republican legislature, and the recount is a scrupulously honest one. So I don't think there'll be an appeal from that. I think we'll just abide. We'll have to abide by the recount. Georgia, I think the recount is in our favor. And Wisconsin and Arizona, as I said, we just don't know yet. So it's still in process. And this thing will take several more weeks to unfold because recount is an onerous thing and it's got to be done by hand. It's got to be done with Democrats and Republicans sitting right there. And there'll be leaks from it. They'll be saying Trump gained votes today, Biden gained votes yesterday. But we won't really know for a while. And it's foolish to speculate on it. We have a very, I believe we won the election, okay? Mm-hmm. I think we carried those states. I think I know that based on our polling right around that time. Will the recount show that? When it's a full statewide recount, I think it will. But in Pennsylvania and in Arizona, we do not have the right to a full statewide recount. Arizona, I described. Pennsylvania, it has to be within half of 1%. And we allegedly lost the state by 0.6%. Uh-huh. But a fallback there is the legislature demanding an audit, which is really the same as a recount, or the courts intervening. And that's kind of the state of play at the moment.
I'm taking a look at these certification dates. Georgia is November 20th, as I'm sure you know. You probably know these off the top of your head. Pennsylvania and Michigan, November 23rd. Arizona, November 30th. Wisconsin and Nevada, December 1st. If these states certify and certify with Biden as a winner, do you accept those? Are you trying to get the certification overridden or pushed back? What's your thought process there?
Well, first of all, those dates are not written in stone. The date that is written in stone is January 21st, when the president is inaugurated. The other sort of stone, maybe put it in clay, is the meeting of the Electoral College, which I think is December 13th or there.
14th, yeah.
Yeah. That probably would be hard to change. But I think until then, it's in play. And remember, the governors in these states are Democrats. The legislature is Republican. The governors control the counting process and the state, the certification by the Secretary of State is a function of the executive branch. But the legislature has the final word on that. And I could see a situation where the Secretary of State rules for Biden and the legislature says, hey, wait a minute, Trump carried this state. And I think that's a very possible situation.
Would that reflect what the voters wanted?
Well, the voters in these states voted for Trump. And so, yeah, I think it did.
Okay. All right. Dick Morris, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
And you can get Dick's up-to-the-minute news by going to dickmorris.com and subscribing free.
Newsmax TV is now America's fastest-growing cable news channel. We give you the real news you need. So subscribe to our YouTube channel and give us a thumbs up. If you like this video, share it with your friends. Newsmax TV streams live on YouTube for free. Newsmax TV, real news for real people.
Final question for you. Will you urge your supporters to stay calm while the vote is counted, and will you pledge not to declare victory until the election is independently certified?
Yes, and here's the deal. We count the ballots, as you pointed out. Some of these ballots in some states can't even be opened until election day. And if there's thousands of ballots, it's going to take time to do it.
Isn't that something? There he pledged to not declare victory until the election is certified. That has not happened. And he's running around calling himself the president-elect. I think he violated a major, major pledge that he made to the American people. Let's bring in Jason Miller. Jason Miller, Trump 2020 senior advisor. Welcome back to Newsmax, Jason. How are you?
Greg, I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much. And by the way, if you think that was the biggest lie coming from Joe Biden, wait until it gets proven that he knew about all of Hunter's business deals. I'm sure that's going to pop up maybe January 20th in the afternoon or January 21st if we're not successful with some of these recounts. So, but look, Joe Biden just can't tell the truth. Of course, he's going to go and try to rush to victory, trample over everything he said previously.
So, it is wild, though, that he was able to say that and the mainstream media are not calling him out on that. By the way, you think we'll find out about January 20th Hunter's situation? Tell me that again. Why will we know by January 20th or on January 20th?
Well, if that's the way that it holds and Joe Biden is inaugurated as the next president, if we're not successful with these recounts and with these legal challenges we have, that's when the media will magically discover, oh, wait, Hunter is under investigation. The Bidens are under investigation for money laundering. We just, you know, we just forgot to read this email in our inbox, or we forgot to call our sources at the DOJ. You know, Greg, that is going to happen.
Mean because they really would like another story, and they really would like Kamala Harris as president of the United States. Yes, I could see that happening. But please, let's not talk about that. We don't want that to happen. Look, I've got a lot of hope, and I think this was a significant victory. Georgia is hand-recounting the votes. Tell us a little bit about this and what you think could happen next.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's what we learned today is that the state of Georgia is authorizing a hand recount of all of their ballots because it was within the automatic recount threshold. Here's why it's key, because Georgia allowed for the first time a number of mass unsolicited ballots to be sent out under the guise of COVID. And Greg, don't even get me started. We have a Republican governor, Republican secretary of state, Republican Senate, Republican House, and they still allowed this to happen, which Stacey Abrams then swooped in. It was able to go around and harvest ballots. So we're going to go through and check every single one of those votes cast. And Greg, you may have seen it from the campaign earlier today. We put out our initial list of dead Georgians whose identities were stolen and voted with this year. We put out our Pennsylvania list this afternoon. So as we start going through every single one of these ballots, we think we're going to see significant examples of fraud and misrepresentation, illegal ballot harvesting. So we're really looking forward to get through it. Greg, here's a critical detail. This isn't just about the presidential race. It's also about these Senate races coming up on January 5th. If we don't get down to the bottom of any of the fraud and illegality going on in Georgia, this could come up again in just a few weeks and have something to do with the outcome of the balance of the Senate.
Wow. And January 5th. Hey, let's go to Pennsylvania for a second. And how much do you know about this potential whistleblower? He's been a little bit back and forth, according to the mainstream media. His name is Richard Hopkins, a mail carrier from Erie, Pennsylvania. He is being portrayed as a whistleblower. He saw a lot of irregularities, shall we say, with the ballots. But there have been some reports that he recanted his story. Then I heard something that he was pressured by his bosses at the post office. How much faith are you putting in this guy? What do you think so far?
Well, I think it definitely should be investigated, and I think that the DOJ should come in and have a chat with him about this. Let's go and get the real heavies involved here. But here's what we do know, where there's absolutely no question, is the fact that the state of Pennsylvania took cured ballots. Those are the ballots where they go through and maybe they fix the signature, or they fix the envelope that it was in, or they correct the date. And then they went and counted those and put them back in. They commingled them with all of the other ballots. And they also, and here's the egregious part, Greg, they didn't allow us to observe the ballots being counted. Why would the Democrats be rushing to have all of these ballots counted so quickly when you take a look at the fact that they wanted to rush it through? And again, there was a reason why they wanted to have these mass mail ballots go out. And this is going to change the future of elections forever. If we don't get this right, if we allow them to go and rush this through without looking at it, we think this is, number one, unconstitutional because of the way the election day voters are treated differently from mail-in voters. But this will make it impossible for Republican to get elected president ever again if we don't go and drill down on this and root out the fraud and corruption here.
Jason, I only got about 30 seconds left. By the way, the evidence, everyone in the media, they're like, well, we haven't seen the evidence yet. We have not seen any evidence, and they make a big deal out of that. I don't think the evidence will be black and white, like, hey, Joe, throw these ballots away, that kind of thing. I mean, people do cover this stuff up. And also, doesn't that come out in discovery when you file a lawsuit? It's not necessarily available when you start. You have a suspicion, then you file a lawsuit, and then you get that material, correct?
Well, exactly. Well, Greg, not only do we have the dead people voting in Georgia, dead people voting in Pennsylvania, in Arizona, with these ballot machines, they counted overvote. Erroneously, where they said that somebody had voted for both candidates for president and threw those out. That impacted thousands of Trump votes in Arizona. So we're just getting started here. Feel very good about overturning this. And we got to stop Joe Biden from becoming the next president, because you just think about who he's going to put in his cabinet, going back to your last segment. I mean, I don't even want Mayor Pete being the ambassador to Sweden. Even if he could put together a furniture set from IKEA, I don't want him representing the country anywhere. Although I wouldn't mind sending Don Eng, Dick, Richard Blumenthal over to Vietnam for the very first time. That might be a good move for us. But no, we need Donald Trump still in the White House.
All right, Jason Miller. Da-Nang Dick, yes. Old Dick Blumenthal from Connecticut said he went to... All right, Jason Miller, thank you very much. Good luck. Our best to the staff, and stay in touch, okay?
You just watched Newsmax TV, America's fastest-growing cable news channel, now in more than 70 million homes. You can get Newsmax TV on your cable system or check your cable guide. And if your system doesn't carry Newsmax, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax TV, because we're real news for real people.
Folks, welcome back. Jim Crow Joe's lead in Arizona has dropped below 13,000 votes. The narrowing is concerning for certain news agencies out there that prematurely, and some say irresponsibly, called Arizona with just 14% of the vote in on election night. For more on this, we're joined by Congressman Andy Biggs. He represents Arizona's 5th Congressional District, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Good to see you, sir. What are you hearing out there about the count, number one? Number two, are the ballots breaking in sufficient number for the president to put him over the top in Arizona? And number three, why is the count taking so long?
Okay, so reality is we're seeing ballots being reported from all over the state. Most of the smaller counties, rural counties, have already finished. Some of the others are going to finish today. I talked with some county recorders who are doing the count. And, for instance, in southeast Arizona, that count will be finished today. We anticipate the president's going to pick up maybe 1,000 votes in that county. Pima County, which is the second largest county in the state, they're I don't know if they'll finish today, but they're going to come close. We're hoping the president picks up 800 to 1,000 votes there. And then you move to Maricopa County, which has the largest tranche of about 20,000 votes here. And those typically have been breaking for him anywhere from 2-1 or 3-1, depending on the part of the county that they come from. So that would be good. Actually, my congressional district still has the most in Maricopa County that have not been counted yet. And those are going to be coming late earlies or day ofs. And we think those are going to break pretty high for the president. Is there enough runway for him to land the plane? Yeah, there is, because you also have about 40,000 provisional ballots. We don't know how many of those are going to be countable. In other words, that some of them are provisional because people aren't registered to vote and they just came out and voted, and they can't do that in Arizona. But if you get half of those in there, then the president, we think that he'll take a good 60%, because those are all also day of. And you saw, and Chris, you were right, day of, Arizona voters broke heavily for President Trump. And so, yeah, it's an uphill battle yet, but there is an opportunity. And I think, and I'm praying, and I believe that he's going to do it.
The Arizona Senate president has called for an independent analysis of the voting data out there in Arizona. What concerns do you have about the vote in Arizona?
So there's a couple of things that we need to really look at. Number one is you have what we call the green ballot issue, and that's where people's votes were actually canceled because a poll worker mistakenly had them do certain aspects. I'm told that there are about 9,900 of those in Maricopa County. Now, the problem with that is not all of those are going to be Trump voters. Some of those don't have anything to do with the president. But you know what? They actually provide perhaps impetus to recount by hand all these votes in Maricopa County. And that would be good, because the second concern we have is we use the same Dominion software that you saw in Michigan and Georgia, where there were problems with that software.
Oh.
And we want to make sure that that worked properly. And then of course you get to the normal, basically were people's ballots canceled. So you have a series of issues to look at very carefully, and we'd really like to get those resolved.
Now, if we are cursed to get Obama's third term with Beijing Biden, that's a big if. I'm not willing to concede that at this point, but if we do, I've got to ask you, as a member of Congress, is there enough evidence out there, as far as you're concerned, with the Hunter Biden laptop, with the Bobulinski testimony and his documentation, with that video that came from the dissidents in communist China? Is there enough evidence for Congress at least to start looking into a Biden-China collusion connection?
Yeah. Yeah, for me, the reality is, yes, there's plenty of evidence. There's plenty of evidence there. And the problem, of course, Chris, is that we're dealing with we'll be in the minority. We'll have and Nadler and Schiff and Pelosi, they won't want to investigate this. We're going to have to rely on the Senate. The Senate should be investigating this. There already is enough evidence to investigate Joe Biden and also his cronies. And I think we should be doing that. That's really part of this whole thing.
Well, Congressman, let the word go forth. If you want to continue to keep this into the news cycle, let the Republican caucus come here to Newsmax TV. We promise we won't be cutting you off like some news agencies have been doing to the president and his press secretary. Sir, appreciate your time here on the Chris Salcedo Show. Coming up,
Newsmax TV is now America's fastest growing cable news channel. We give you the real news you need. So subscribe to our YouTube channel and give us a thumbs up. If you like this video, share it with your friends. Newsmax TV streams live on YouTube for free. Newsmax TV, real news for real people.
Senator Ted Cruz from the great state of Texas to the Chris Salcedo Show. Senator Cruz, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Chris. Great to join you.
All right. First question I have for you. President has gone to court to prevent fraudulent votes from being counted. Now, you have supported his right to do so, but the biased press and those in it are insisting, number one, the president concede. They're also insisting that senators like you accept a guy I call Beijing Biden as the president-elect. And you were called out by one of these biased journalists. I want to play that soundbite and get you to respond. Listen to this.
I mentioned Ted Cruz, who are like the Japanese soldiers who come out 30 years after the end of the war and out of the jungle and say, is the fight still going on? What do you expect the mood to be inside Senate Republicans, as they begin to think perhaps their future is no longer so directly tied to Donald Trump?
Your reaction, Senator Cruz?
Well, look, it's not surprising that the mainstream media has a partisan bias, and Chris Wallace is one of the worst, as we saw in the debate that he moderated, where he might as well have put on a big foam finger saying Joe Biden number one. I mean, it was his biases have been there for a long time, but so has the entirety of the mainstream media. The mainstream media was always bad, but with the election of Donald Trump, they got exponentially worse. I think Trump broke the media. The relevant point here is the media don't get to decide the presidency of the United States. That's the voters. The American people get to decide that. And yes, we had an election 9 days ago. But we now have a series of contested results. We have recounts that are proceeding. We have litigation that is challenging the results. And an election isn't final till the results are final. And so everyone watching should just give a little bit of time to let the process play out. The objective should be clear. Count every single legal vote and ensure that votes that were illegally cast, that were fraudulently cast, are not counted. And we have a process to determine that, and that process is ongoing right now in the legal system.
All right, so now Georgia has ordered a recount and re-canvass, and this is bad news for the Democrats. Of course, they're sweating it out. I want you to detail, if we find as much voter fraud as many folks suspect is there in Georgia, not only will it impact the presidential race, but also a key Senate race there, because Mr. Perdue is just this close from getting 50 plus one and avoiding a runoff. That's key, yes?
Well, it would be enormously impactful if David Perdue could avoid a runoff. It would mean we would only have one seat on the ballot on January 5th instead of two. Either way, Georgia on January 5th is going to have massive consequence, because what's at stake there is control of the Senate. And if Democrats win both of those Senate seats, we go from 52-48 to 50-50. And with 50-50, if Joe Biden is president, it means Chuck Schumer is majority leader, and they have no check at all. It means the most radical policies of the far left, they can ram through. If Chuck Schumer is majority leader, they end the filibuster. They pass massive tax increases. They enact the Green New Deal, destroying millions of jobs across this country. They add two new states designed to bring in four new Democratic senators. And they pack the U.S. Supreme Court. The Supreme Court goes from 9 to, in all likelihood, 13 justices. They put four radical leftists on the court, all designed to take away our fundamental rights, our free speech, our religious liberty, our Second Amendment. All of that is on the ballot in Georgia in just 2 months.
I understand. Now, I understand you and a lot of other senators are going to be on the ground there in Georgia. Tell us what your role will be there. I would hope an extra set of eyes to make sure that everything is on the up and up, because I wish we would have had more eyes around the rest of the country to do that, but also to give some moral support to some of the senators who may be running in a runoff. Yes?
Well, there are two things going on. There's the legal challenge, and I certainly have been encouraging the Trump team to put the best lawyers on the ground to handle the legal challenge. I've offered my help, but I've also offered to help them in terms of ensuring that they have really talented litigators that can prove up their case and win in court. At the same time, there's the political endeavor of this special election that is occurring January 5th, and right now both Senate seats are on the ballot. So I'm going to be there campaigning. I'm going to be there really working to turn out Georgia conservatives, because if anybody stays home, if anybody for whatever reason is unhappy, there are certainly voters in Georgia, as there are everywhere, who are ticked off about what's happened in the presidential race so far. And if any of those voters decide, all right, to hell with it, I'm out of here, that's how we elect two liberal Democrats and hand control over the Senate over the far left. And so I'm really there to make sure that everyone in Georgia who loves liberty, who loves the Constitution, who believes in free markets, that every conservative and liberty lover in Georgia shows up and votes on January 5th.
Amen to that. We were very pleased to see you cross-examining former FBI Director McCabe the other day. And I was struck how he refused to answer the predicate that we all know was put out there to prosecute Mr. Flynn to keep the Russia-Trump collusion investigation going forward, which was this use of the Logan Act. Yet Mr. McCabe, when he was backed into a corner, watching right now Mr. Biden reaching out to foreign governments, which they tried to criminalize when the Trump team was coming in, he refused to answer why it's okay for Biden to do it, but it wasn't okay for the Trump team to do it.
Well, McCabe is clearly a slippery witness. I think he bears an awful lot of the responsibility for the politicization of the Department of Justice and the FBI, of the Obama administration, really turning it into a political weapon to target their opponents. When they went after General Flynn, this is a decorated three-star general, a war hero, and they decided they were going to go after him with everything they had, facts be damned, because they hated Donald Trump. It wasn't even that General Flynn was the target. It's just that General Flynn had said yes when Donald Trump asked him to become the incoming national security advisor. And that politicization was an incredible abuse of power. There is a long bipartisan tradition at the Department of Justice and the FBI of it being apolitical, of it staying out of politics and enforcing the law fairly against everyone. That's what we should expect the Department of Justice to do. That's what we should expect the FBI to do. And under James Comey and Andrew McCabe, it ceased doing that. It became an extension of the DNC. It became their Oppo research shop and their shop of dirty tricks designed to go after and attack and persecute those perceived to be political enemies. It really is shameful.
Now, you and I both sat there and watched as the Trump team came in during the 2016 election and then thereafter, the Russia-Trump collusion narrative, which was hatched by guys like Mr. McCabe and Comey and the rest. And that was on the flimsiest of pieces of evidence. And we had an FBI investigation, a House investigation, a Senate investigation, and a falsely predicated special counsel investigation. This is a history that you and I know well.
Yep.
We now have hard evidence, a laptop from Hunter Biden. We now have hard evidence and testimony from Mr. Bobulinski. We now have hard evidence from a video allegedly leaked by dissidents in China. if it was proper and right to launch four investigations on Trump-Russia collusion, isn't it also proper to launch an investigation on Biden-China collusion, Senator?
Well, I think the investigation needs to follow the facts. So I'm not going to call for an investigation of Joe Biden's, and simply because he's on the opposite political side of me. But I do think the rule of law means that if you have facts, if you have a criminal violation, that needs to be investigated. I don't know what all is on that laptop. My understanding is the laptop is in the physical possession of the FBI, and I would certainly hope and expect that if there is serious evidence that is incriminating of a significant crime, that they would pursue that and enforce the law. That's what their job is.
No, I completely understand it. But again, just to press you a little bit on this, we have a mountain more of evidence against Mr. Biden and his ties with the communist Chinese government than there ever was against Mr. Trump and Russia collusion. I mean, certainly, if fair is fair, if we're going to launch four investigations against the president of the United States, Trump, certainly Mr. Biden can endure at least one government investigation with a mountain of evidence we have against him.
Well, and it's even stronger than you suggest in that not only was there not sufficient evidence against the Trump campaign to launch these investigations to begin with, but what they did rely on was complete garbage. The so-called Steele dossier, we now know that the primary subsource, in other words, the principal source of the materials in it, was himself suspected of being a Russian agent of trying to recruit senior members of the Obama administration to work for the Russian government and give secrets to the Russian government. The FBI knew this. They'd investigated it. And they didn't care. They didn't care if this thing was true or not. They didn't care if it was at all credible. So they were willing to be patsies, which is what the FBI senior leadership was, patsies for the Russians, because it let them go after Donald Trump, who they hated with a partisan fury. That even if someone watching this at home may not be crazy about Donald Trump, you ought to be deeply troubled about the nation's law enforcement and intelligence apparatus being used as a political weapon, because when one administration can do it, it means the next one can and the next one can. And that is a very dangerous thing. That is, frankly, an aspect of what we see in totalitarian countries and dictatorships, is using law enforcement to target your political enemies. And that's exactly what Barack Obama and Joe Biden did.
Folks, he is far from being a Japanese soldier lost in the wilderness. He's one of the greatest minds on the conservative side of the ledger. He is someone we're proud here in the great state of Texas to call our senator. Senator Ted Cruz, it's always a pleasure talking to you here on the Chris Salcedo Show.
Chris, thank you. And very quickly, let me mention my new book, One Vote Away, How a Single Supreme Court Seat Can Change History. Takes you inside, behind the curtain at the court. Critically, there's a chapter on Bush versus Gore, which I helped litigate for George W. Bush. If you want to understand what's going on in all these recounts, all this litigation, the book, One Vote Away, it's been 5 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. You can go get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get books, and it'll give you real insights into what's happening right now.
A perfect resource to navigate the country through exactly what we're going through. Senator Cruz, I appreciate the time as always here on the Chris Salcedo Show.
You just watched Newsmax TV, America's fastest growing cable news channel, now in more than 70 million homes. You can get Newsmax TV on your cable system or check your cable guide. And if your system doesn't carry Newsmax, call them, tell them you want Newsmax TV, because we're real news for real people.
Thank you for choosing the Next News Network. After this report, I want you to head on over to nextnewsnetwork.com for a special message. The link is in the description below. Now, let's get to the news. The story reminds me of the opening crawl in the latest Star Wars film, The Rise of Skywalker, where it says, "The dead speak." Remember that? Well, Tucker Carlson now dropping some dead truth about zombie voters. I've got the details. And before we go further, if you're new here, tap the red button down below to subscribe, then hit that notification bell so you're the first to know when the latest news is published. This story from Chris Donaldson from Trending Politics. He reports that the operation to nullify the votes of over 70 million Americans who voted for Trump has been a combination of new high-tech trickery, ballot harvesting, and getting out
the zombie vote, which is a longtime favorite of Democrats, going back to at least the election of JFK. There is now evidence that Democrats raised the dead just after Halloween to vote for Biden, and Fox's Tucker Carlson apparently has the goods on him. Carlson's list includes the name of at least four dead voters in Georgia, where fewer than 15,000 ballots separate Trump and his rival. In Georgia, Carlson named and pictured Deborah Jean Christensen, Linda Kessler, Edward Swinnott, and James Blalock as among the dead said to have cast a ballot. Let's watch this first clip.
Right now, fewer than 15,000 votes separate Donald Trump from Joe Biden in the state of Georgia. It's close enough that it's worth getting specific about what happened there. And Georgia's Secretary of State has now confirmed there will be a hand recount of all votes cast in Georgia. Among those votes, auditors will find a ballot cast by a woman called Deborah Jean Christensen. It'd be hard to find anyone who's got a bad word to say about Deborah Jean Christensen. She was well known in her community for years as a bird watcher, an avid gardener, a committed fan of the Georgia Bulldogs. Those who knew her were sad when she died last May, and they might be surprised to learn that even after her death, Deborah Jean Christensen still managed to register to vote and then cast a ballot, presumably for Joe Biden. In some ways, it's an inspiring story, the triumph of voting over death. And no one quite embodies that story like James Blalock of Covington, Georgia. Mr. Blalock was a mailman for 33 years until he passed away in 2006. 14 years later, according to state records, he was still mailing things. James Blalock cast a ballot in last week's election. How did he do that? It might be worth asking the New York Times. Maybe James Blalock was just one of those extraordinary mail carriers. Neither rain, nor snow, nor gloom of night, nor even death itself could keep him from the mail. In his case, maybe voting from the grave wasn't really fraud, it was just commitment. Okay, but what about Linda Kessler of Nicholson, Georgia? Linda Kessler died in 2003. 17 years later, she was still voting in presidential elections. Edward Swinnott of Trenton, Georgia, spent his life working construction and teaching school. In his spare time, he loved bluegrass music. According to those who knew him, he played multiple instruments and enjoyed jam sessions. When he died 5 years ago at the age of 82, it seemed like he was gone from this world for good. But no, last week he voted for president. And he wasn't the only one.
Could you imagine being one of those family members left behind after these people pass? Learning that your relative voted? Whether they voted for Trump or Biden is really irrelevant. Obviously it's relevant, but think about the family impact of people watching this segment right now who know those people, who know their story. I mean, that's like ripping the wound off their death all over again.
On your screen right now, you will see the names of other deceased voters. Every one of them played a role in last week's presidential election. As of tonight, there aren't enough of them to alter the outcome. That could change as we learn more. But for the moment, the point is, they exist. They are dead, but they voted anyway. The question is, how did they do that? How exactly did they cast their ballots? And the short answer is, by mail.
By mail. Carlson also lit up the media for ignoring this damning news. Watch.
We don't know who did it. We wish we did. We should know. It's fraud, it's a threat to our system, and it's being hidden by a news media totally vested in a Joe Biden presidency. Again, we have a right to know, we have an obligation to know much more about this. But thanks to the media blackout, it is left to independent conservative sites, places like The Federalist, to report what the rest should be reporting but are not.
With each passing day, more of what Democrats did to thwart the democratic process comes out thanks to alternative media, and we are going to continue to get the word out. Is there any other wonder why they are rushing to cram Biden-Harris down our throats? I'll tell you, it's because the longer that President Trump holds out, the longer that you and I hold out, the more fraud will be revealed. Comment below. We'll see you at the next report for the next news network. I'm Gary Franchi.
You possess the power to impact the global narrative. Please share this report, and to get more videos like this, become an X News subscriber by clicking the link below. Thank you for watching the Next News Network.